On Tech News Today, Tesla will steer your car so you don't have to. Plus, Magic Leap reveals some augmented reality tricks, and it looks like the next Apple TV will power home automation. Christina Warren is here, and we'll be joined by two awesome journalists from Quartz and MIT Technology Review, so stick around. Tech News Today is next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, March 20th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. Welcome to the show. My name is Mike Elgin, and our co-anchor today is Mashable senior tech analyst Christina Warren. How are you doing, Christina?
I'm great, although, you know what? It is snowing. It's the first day of spring, and it is snowing in New York City. So, as always, I blame our chief science editor, Andrew Friedman. It is his fault. He is the person that coined the term, now I can't even think of it.
Snowpocalypse.
I'm losing my mind, but anyway. Yeah, snowpocalypse. Yeah, thank you. He coined the term snowpocalypse, so I blame him for all winter weather. This is his fault, but it's the first day of spring, and it is snowing.
Yeah, that is shocking. And of course, New York, it doesn't snow much in New York. I'm sure you've had a very unsnowy winter.
I know, it's the first that we've seen it all year, right?
Yeah, it must be very novel to you to have snow in the city there. Well, it's a good thing you can get coffee delivered, though. I think this Harold, you wrote a little piece about coffee delivery that sort of takes a glimpse at a bright future for all of us, potentially.
Indeed. So Starbucks is starting two different pilot programs for coffee delivery. The first one, which is just going to debut in Seattle, is and then it's going to expand other places. They're partnering with a company called Postmates. And Postmates is basically Uber, but for delivery. So basically, you find food from a local place that probably doesn't offer a delivery service, and a driver will go to that place, get your order, and bring it to you. You pay through the app. It's pretty awesome. So they're going to be working with Postmates. So using the Starbucks app, you can actually order your coffee, have it set to deliver, and then Postmates will bring it to you. So that's pretty cool. They're also doing a pilot in the Empire State Building in Manhattan, where they've got a Starbucks in the Empire State Building, and they will actually be sending baristas to the different companies that have office space in that building to bring them their coffee orders. So they're doing two different things. The Postmates thing will be expanding to more cities. They're starting first in Seattle. And that means that maybe this time next year, if it's still snowing like this, I can have my hot chocolate delivered rather than having to walk a block and a half, because God forbid I go outside in this, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing to think that they've actually come up with a way to get coffee that's even more convenient than those Keurig plastic pod things. Basically, you just use the app and then you just hold your hand like this and somebody will put coffee in it. It's like if they would drink it for you, too, that'd be great.
That would be good if it could just be beamed directly to your body, to your blood levels and blood system, so everything can be absorbed. No, it's funny, though. You mentioned Keurig. I wonder, even with gas, it's probably possible that this form of coffee delivery would be like more environmentally friendly than Keurig. Did you see about the number of the billions of K-cups that are taking up landfills? Have you seen that story?
I have.
About how much waste they're doing. It's terrible. So this might actually be better for the environment, even with gas. Speaking of our next story, electric cars, so who knows?
I think what they should do in places like Manhattan, maybe Seattle too, is they should have pipes running through the city that just flow with coffee. You know, you sort of hot water, cold water, and then coffee.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. No, there's no waste. So anyway, all right, well, why don't we do the news? Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced new features to the company's Model S electric car
including the ability to steer all by itself. I think I saw that in Anchorman 2, didn't I? Steve Levine is Washington correspondent for Quartz and joins us now to talk about this. Welcome to you, Steve.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Now, before we get into the Tesla news, you wrote a related book called The Powerhouse. Can you briefly tell us about this book?
Right. This is 2 years spent in one lab. Why is it so hard to make a big breakthrough in batteries? Why can't we pay a mass market price for a car and go 300 miles and so on? So I spent 2 years with one battery team in Chicago, Argonne National Lab, with the scientists attempting to make the big breakthrough. And basically you find out what makes these guys tick, and you get inside the science, inside the business, and figure out, well, what's the big problem.
Very cool. Very cool. And getting a little feedback there. So Musk announced a self-steering function. First of all, your book sounds great. Can't wait to read it. But Musk announced a self-steering function. But how does this work, and on what kinds of roads is it going to work on?
Well, that's the thing. Now, Musk is fantastic. He's a genius at keeping enthusiasm up around his products. That's what this was all about. This is it's really just a glorified cruise control. Really, it's only going to operate on major highways. It will not allow you to use that function inside a city in any urban environment. But say you're driving from Los Angeles to San Francisco, you can charge up once or twice along the way. But basically, turn on the function and it'll take you on that straight road all the way there, changing lanes at the speed you would like and keeping you safe.
And I also understand you can sort of get out of the car and just say, go park yourself. I mean, is that right?
No. You can, well, if you are on private property and you want your car to go park on the private property at slow speed, it will do that. But it's not like we become accustomed to thinking we're going to go to the supermarket, stand at the front door, push a button, and the car will go park. And then when we're finished shopping, the car will come get us. We're not there yet.
Bummer. But how safe is this? How safe is this autopilot?
The autopilot, this again is very low grade. This is a similar function that already exists in BMWs, high-end BMWs, and Audis, Mercedes. Again, it's a function for highways. It's the first stage of autopilot. It's not self-driving, but again, it's cool that it's finally coming out. The big thing is that Elon Musk with Tesla, he's getting a free ride. The press treated it like it was a very big and important breakthrough. It's not that. It's just a cool thing that's finally happening.
Now, I'm not really clear on one point, which is that, is this new Model S cars that are going to have this capability, or is this essentially a download, a patch that's going to upgrade existing cars?
It's a patch. It's a patch, and it will be with us in, according to Musk in his conference call yesterday, it'll be with us in 3 months. He is able, he said, through existing hardware that's in the car to send through a software patch for existing cars and including the Model X, that's the crossover SUV that's scheduled to come out this summer. It will have this fix as well.
So I know you didn't write about this, but Richard Branson, the Virgin Group founder, yesterday said that Virgin has people working on electric cars, which, he's Richard Branson. Of course he does. How credible do you think a future Virgin car is?
I think it's absolutely credible. This is what is exciting about the age right now, is that you have Musk saying that in the year 2017, 2018, I'm going to have a $35,000 car that will go 200 miles on a single charge. GM saying the same thing. So we know that the real electric age is coming for a more or less mass market vehicle. But when you get the Bransons of the world, and when you get the Apples of the world saying the same thing, that's credibility. It means that we really are getting there. I have to plug in my laptop or I'm going to disappear. I'm just warning you of this. I'm going to do that right now.
Well, actually, we're going to go ahead and end the segment. Steve Levine is at QZ.com. That's Quartz's website. And you can follow him on Twitter at Steve Levine. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. One of the most promising companies in the coming world of augmented reality is Magic Leap, which is backed massively by Google and other investors. Two weird mysteries struck the company this week. First, Magic Leap's CEO, Ronnie Abovitz, canceled a planned TED Talk. And then Magic Leap, game developer, unceremoniously pulled out of an agreed-upon Reddit AMA. Still, Abovitz did release a video he had planned to show during his TED Talk. Let's take a look at that video. And here comes the video. So we see a Gmail icon floating, and then we see an interface for going through emails. And now there's a rotating circle of files that appear to be like, you know, desktop files. And now launching a game by poking a finger at this. Now what you're seeing is an actual office. It's a real office. And now we're looking at a desk that has these crazy looking, you know, sci-fi looking, steampunkish guns. These are not augmented reality guns. These are like physical guns, which then appear to function as, you know, space ray guns or something like that in this weird steampunky game. Now there's a bunch of robots coming out of the ceiling and coming at the player. So it's a first-person shooter, but instead of the computer game having a fake gun with the fake hands holding the fake gun, it's the real hands holding a real object that's shaped like a gun, and it's all taking place in a real setting. So it's, you know, again, augmented reality. Anyway, I think we've seen enough of this video. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's great to see this because, of course, we've been hearing about Magic Leap but haven't seen a lot. They've been the most secretive. And to talk about a little bit more about the context of this video, we have Rachel Metz, who's a senior mobile editor for MIT Technology Review. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Hello.
Now, you're one of the few people outside the company to have seen this video before its release yesterday. What are we looking at here? Is this a real game in development?
They are working with Weta Workshop on at least a Dr. Grodbort's game, which is what this is. I'm not sure how many things they're working on with Weta Workshop, but this one was something that I saw when I visited them in their office in Florida in December. I either saw this video or something very much like it. The gameplay is certainly something that they showed me, presented as sort of a video game trailer.
So is this real game footage or is this just a mock-up? I mean, is this just something from the labs or is this something that they actually have, at least in some prototype phase?
I believe they are working on this game, but this exact footage, my understanding was that it was more of a demo reel and not actually sent them a note asking if it was live gameplay and was essentially told that it must be edited in some way. Sorry, I'm looking at the email that I got back. I said, is this live gameplay? And I was told that you really have to do it in person if you really want to see what they're doing, which is true. And no 2D video can appropriately capture their technology, which is also true.
Now, I'm not really clear on what Magic Leap is going to do. Are they going to be sort of a game company? Are they just a platform for others to develop anything upon that platform? For example, this clearly shows these sort of space weapons or these, you know, steampunk weapons that then function as if they're actual weapons from the viewer's point of view. Is that potentially a product that could be coming from Magic Leap in the future?
Sure. I mean, they're definitely, they're really trying to meld reality with the virtual. And part of that would be having actual devices like those ray guns or whatever they were. I think they were ray guns that you would actually pick up and then you would use with a game that has virtual characters that appear to be in front of you.
So what's going on with the YouTube icons and the Gmail stuff? I mean, are they actually working on creating a computer interface, kind of like what we've seen with Microsoft's HoloLens? What do you think they're trying to show off here?
I mean, I think with that, they're just trying to show off sort of the range of things that may be possible with this, depending on what they build and what other developers build. That you could use it for gameplay, but you could use it for a lot more than that, which was the sense I got when I saw it, was that there are so many things that it could be useful for education, for stuff around the office, like we saw that with the Gmail and some productivity stuff. It could make those things easy. But then also, of course, the gaming is such an easy and clear thing to communicate that could give you a sense of how exciting it could be and how fun.
All right, well, Rachel Metz is at technologyreview.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Rachel Metz. Thanks for joining us today, Rachel.
Sure, thank you.
Let us know what you think about Magic Leap. Just send us an email to tnt@twit.tv and tell us if you're excited about the new world of augmented reality, virtual reality, and what you think about the demos you've seen and the information you've heard about both Microsoft HoloLens and Magic Leap. I think those appear to be the major contenders for this kind of augmented reality. And, of course, who knows what Facebook will do with Oculus Rift when that finally ships as well. Well, in just a sec, we got some more news for you. But first, let me tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a great way to have delicious food that you prepare yourself and you don't even have to know how to cook because they will give you step-by-step instructions. I love Blue Apron because it's so convenient. They send you this big box, and inside is these sort of ice packs that keep everything refrigerated. And in those boxes, you have all the ingredients. They have little bags that have the spices and the different things you're going to need for the dishes you're going to prepare. And it's way better than a restaurant. I mean, it's like the food is just fantastic, and it costs way less than a restaurant, less than $10 per meal per person. And these are with fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, step-by-step instructions, and beautifully printed pictures so you know exactly what it's supposed to look like as you're preparing the food. This is great for kids, to teach kids how to cook. This is great if you have a kid in college who's a food snob. Send them Blue Apron. Get them a subscription to Blue Apron. It just comes to your house every single week, and you can just make these meals that are not only healthy, but low calorie, 500 to 700 calories per serving, which is a little bit shocking because they're very filling. They're very satisfying meals, again, because they're real food. This isn't junk food. This isn't a second-rate food. This is really, really good food. And of course, if you're a vegetarian, you can indicate that on their website, and they'll send you only vegetarian meals. They'll also send you a different meal every single time. You'll never get the same meal twice, so this adds an enormous variety to your diet. It's just a fantastic service. It's unlike anything else out there. Try Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's right. Two meals free by going to blueapron.com. Don't forget the slash twit part. And we thank Blue Apron for their support of Tech News Today. Amazon finally got permission to test delivery drones. The FAA yesterday said Amazon can do its testing outside, but only below 400 feet and only during daylight hours. Amazon reportedly plans to test drones over private property in a remote part of Washington State. Oh, man. You know, Christina, this whole delivery drone thing, I mean, Amazon kind of started it in terms of the public awareness of this because of Jeff Bezos' publicity stunt on 60 Minutes in December, I think it was. And then we learned that Google had been working on this for a long time in Australia, and DHL in Germany has been testing something for a long time, and the French Postal Service is doing this. Everybody thinks that delivery drones are the future of delivery somehow. I'm not buying it. What do you think? Do you think that delivery drones, drones are a good way to deliver stuff?
I mean, I guess for certain items, it might be better, an easier way of getting them there than it would be, kind of traditional methods. You might be able to get into some rural areas or some really congested areas more easily than you would, by truck. But I'm kind of with you. I don't know. It feels like a solution searching for a problem.
Definitely. Exactly. And, you know, there are examples where I think DHL is keeping their deliveries exclusively to the delivery of emergency supplies to
right.
a specific island during times when it's unsafe to fly. Of course, if it's so unsafe that you can't fly a helicopter, I doubt that drone is going to make it. But still, that makes sense, you know, for emergency relief and that sort of thing. But it sounds like an elaborate, energy-intensive, difficult-to-navigate kind of approach to bring an object from point A to point B. But who knows? I mean, we'll see where it goes. I'm sure it will always, at the very least, be a premium service that will cost a lot. You know, it's not going to be free shipping. So we'll see how that goes. Well, in product updates, this is kind of a mind blower. BuzzFeed sources. Yeah, BuzzFeed. Don't judge me. Sometimes they do good journalism. They really do sometimes.
Hey, they do a lot of good journalism. Let's not be overly snarky. They really do.
Yeah, they really do. So their sources are saying that Apple will introduce an updated Apple TV box that offers both Siri and HomeKit support at its Worldwide Developers Conference this summer. Christina, the HomeKit part is the big news here, in my opinion. The idea of using an Apple TV as the hub of a home automation system makes a ton of sense.
Makes a ton of sense, and it's something that a lot of us were speculating on even last year, because the existing Apple TV does have Bluetooth 4.0 and Wi-Fi built into it. So conceivably, we were thinking, well, they could take the existing hardware and do that. But I think actually it makes more sense with a new device where they could maybe do even more things with it. Plus, the Apple TV hasn't been updated in more than 3 years. It was like March of 2012, the last time they updated the hardware on the Apple TV. So it's definitely time. Looking forward to hopefully seeing something in a couple of months.
Remember when Apple, was it Steve Jobs who said that Apple had solved the, you know, in a big way with capital S, solved the user interface problem for television?
That's one of the things that people think that he was referring to, that when one of his interviews with Walter Isaacson, you know, they think that they got the TV interface solved. I don't think that the current Apple TV interface really solves that problem.
No.
I really don't. I think it gets us closer there. I do think that Siri does become interesting in that regard, because it is a really nice feature with the Amazon Fire TV, where you can just kind of talk to it and have it work with things. And Amazon's opened their API up to more and more partners, but it doesn't have ubiquity yet. But it definitely, I think that could be a big improvement of a way to kind of get around, you know, watch, you know, Bob's Burgers, watch, you know, Orange is the New Black, watch, you know, insert show here, you know, Empire or whatever. That could be cool. I also think it's, you know, interesting that they're talking about maybe having an app store finally, which is something that developers have definitely wanted for a long time. So we'll see. I mean, this does actually pair up nicely with the rumors earlier this week. The Wall Street Journal reported that Apple is getting closer to actually doing its mythical, long-rumored TV service. So, you know, a TV service to go alongside a new box might make a lot of sense.
And again, if you combine Siri with home automation, with HomeKit, then you can also imagine talking to your little tiny Apple TV remote control and saying, hey, make it colder in the house and turn on some music and also dim the lights or whatever. That'd be
absolutely
cool.
I mean, that would be so cool. I mean, especially if you think about like chaining events, like, you know, you walk home and say, hey, you know, I'm watching a movie, and it immediately knows to dim the lights, you know, go to, you know, a certain section of your iTunes or whatever, and, you know, turn on the right audio systems. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And bring my Apple car around the front someday.
Yes. Yes,
someday.
And park it for me.
Exactly.
Park it for me after I'm done.
Exactly. Well, in hack attack news, China's defense ministry today denied involvement, big surprise, in a hack against the domain registrar, register.com, a unit of web.com, after a Financial Times report said the FBI was investigating the Chinese military's involvement. The Financial Times said hackers had been accessing register.com's network for about a year. And in related news, the Chinese government has finally admitted to the existence of special cyber warfare units that we all know exists. The admission came in the form of digital war tactics discussed in the latest edition of publication, The Science of Military Strategy, which is produced by China's People's Liberation Army. I would think the name of that publication should be The Art of War, but that is just my two cents. Those communists, they have no sense of irony. In government crackdown news, the Reuters news agency website has been blocked in China. The agency joins Bloomberg News, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal as one of the major U.S. news organizations blocked by the Chinese government.
That's how you know you've made it if you're blocked in China.
That's
you
right.
You know you're pushing the right buttons and doing the right stuff if you're blocked in China.
Yeah, they're in good company. You know, all you have to do is be a really credible news source that's very accurate, and you'll get blocked by the Chinese government. So, all right, well, we got some more news for you in just a minute, including some mind-blowing video about something Apple is doing. But first, let's talk about Gazelle. Gazelle is a fantastic way, of course, to sell your used iPhone, your used Android phone, your used, you name it, even desktops, your iMac, your MacBook Pro. They will buy those from you, and they'll give you top dollar for them. Just go to Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, and point out which device you have. They'll even buy an old iPod. You have an old iPod? Sell it to Gazelle. And then you just basically indicate the condition. It's in great condition. It's in okay condition, whatever. And they'll send you a box. You put it in, the box. Off it goes, and you get paid right away. But here's the cool part. They'll also sell you a device. If you have a precious device that you absolutely love, and then you drop it, and it smashes. And when you're done crying, you can go to Gazelle and order the exact same device for much less than a brand new device would cost. It's a great way to replace an existing device. And the reason for that is that every single phone, every single tablet has been put through a 30-point inspection to make sure it works perfectly. And also, all certified pre-owned devices are backed by a 30-day risk-free policy. So if you don't like it after 3-4 weeks, send it back. They'll give you a full refund. You absolutely have no risk at all. Find out what your iPhone's worth. Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Well, in human resources news, HTC named Cher Wang as the company's CEO, replacing Peter Chow. If her name sounds familiar, you should know that she is the company's founder and chairwoman. She's getting back in, she's getting involved, and she's back in charge. And this is great news, Christina Warren, because she's like super into R&D. She's super into the guts of and the technology instead of the marketing and all the rest. And so I think this is a good move. What do you think of her her appointment? She appointed herself. She's the chairman of the board, but her ascendance to the CEO.
I agree with you completely. I think this is great. I think that, as you said, she has a great background with R&D, and that's something that HTC used to be really good at, and it's something they've kind of fallen away from in the last couple of years. They make really good products that just haven't quite managed to get all the right pieces together, and I know that they have a lot of talented people working there who are doing some really amazing things, so hopefully with her back at the helm, we can start seeing the fruits of those labors.
Well, in other human resources news, President Obama just created an IT director position in the White House for David Recordon, a former Facebook engineering director who will no doubt soon be instituting a new poke policy within the White House. There he is. The government, you know, President Obama has been very active in hiring people from Silicon Valley to work in Washington. And I hope that that will actually improve government and not just take really good people out of the workforce and put them in government where they will be completely ineffective and just throwing themselves up against this massive bureaucracy. In this case, this is not about the government generally. This is about the White House specifically. And so I think President Obama wants to upgrade the security and the functionality of the White House IT infrastructure. And I think that's probably a good thing. Well, here you go, folks. In news you can lose, Apple has been running a secret lab for 2 years to test the Apple Watch as a health and fitness tracker. Apple gave ABC's Good Morning America an exclusive look at the lab. Let's take a look at that Good Morning America segment.
About the new product, which goes on sale next month. And ABC's Rebecca Jarvis got an exclusive first look inside the lab, where they're putting it to some extreme tests. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, Lara. Good morning to you. And what you're about to see may look like the stuff of science fiction, but it's actually one of the most advanced fitness labs in the world.
So we're looking at people who look like they're wearing gas masks doing yoga.
No outsiders allowed in.
They've all got iPads. Yes. In front of their faces, and it's all very strange. And we're looking now at the outside of a sort of looks like an industrial warehouse kind of thing.
It does.
How top secret is this place we are sitting in right now?
You're the first person through that's not part of the Apple team, so it's pretty secret.
Here, Apple employees secretly working out in high tech gear worth millions of dollars for nearly 2 years.
Everybody's got those horrible gas masks on.
Downward dogging, and the kicker.
The yoga people, the people on treadmills, people doing rowing. It looks like a gym. It seemed to be 100 people in this place.
Yeah, it looks like a gym with terrible masks on. It's pod people.
Wow, incredible.
The Apple Watch, unveiled in September and on sale next month. Its most anticipated feature, Apple calls it a health kit.
It allowed us to actually learn how do we measure calorie burn and where does exercise actually start.
Jay Blonick, Apple's director of fitness for health technologies, gave us the top secret fitness tour.
How are you feeling? Thumbs up? And what is she wearing on her head?
That's to be able to track exactly how hard is she breathing. It's the best way to
hope they haven't lost anyone.
The truth of how many calories.
Seriously.
Here we see
now they're going to refrigerate people.
Where Apple is testing our body's response to different temperatures and levels of humidity.
Get a chance to see inside.
Well, I guess we now know the watch is sweatproof.
Exactly. Yeah, so welcome to California. In order to simulate cold weather and humidity, they have to have these special chambers.
All this sweating in secret.
This is in an area where partly sunny is considered bad weather.
You know, I think we've amassed already what may be.
I love that even in the nondescript building, Apple has hardwood floors, just like they do in the Apple Store.
Exactly. Because carpeting is so tacky.
It could be a game changer.
It is so tacky.
One heart disease.
All right, so I think we've seen enough of that. You know, Christina Warren, it has to be said that, you know, Apple is going so big with this Apple Watch. It's really kind of mind-blowing. I mean, you think about what Google did with Android Wear. They're like, here's an operating system. Go for it, kids. And then, you know, various, you know, smartphone companies said, well, here's a watch. There's a watch or whatever. Just get a sense of just the retail push behind the Apple Watch. They hired the CEO, Angela Arendt from Burberry Group. They paid her $73 million last year. Compare that to Tim Cook's $9.22 million. Mm-hmm. So they're paying a fortune. This is before the Apple Watch even shipped. They're building dedicated Apple Watch stores. So their 453 retail stores aren't enough. They're building more, including in Tokyo, in a department store called Isetan, Selfridges in London, Galeries Lafayette in Paris, and there's even a discussion that they're going to be building dedicated Apple Watch stores inside Nordstrom's. That is something that may come later.
That'd be huge.
Now they have new.
They make a lot of sense.
Exactly. Now, as Mark Gurman has been reporting, they're completely restructuring the entire process for how Apple stores work with different zones, and something like 75%. To 90% of retail store staff are going to be dedicated to the Apple Watch. So I think a lot of these people are going to be additional people, and they're going to be divided into four zones, according to Mark Gurman. And so when you walk in, it'd be like the old Soviet Union where you get in line to pick the bread, and then you get in line to pick up your bread, and then you get in the line to pay for the – it's going to be like that. But these different zones completely restructure how the Apple stores work. They have new try-on stations that they essentially have created, where they have these little 10 stations where you go and with an Apple blue-shirted person standing there, you try on different bands and different things to see how it is. They even invented a newly designed charging cable and bracelet system that was revealed on the FCC for the application. They had to do it almost as if it were a product, and these enable quickly, you know, the ability to quickly remove the Apple Watches from the display, and then they charge with a minimum of cabling. So they wanted to declutter it. They invented a whole new charging system. They have new security infrastructure that turns every Apple store into a jewelry store. They have special safes. They have scales that weigh the watches in case somebody returns a watch and they shave some of the gold off. They're going to be able to tell by weighing it. They're no doubt going to have armed guards in the back or somewhere, because this is the Apple Watch is going to be the most desired object for crooks and thieves imaginable. If you think about it, 50 gold Apple Watches, the cheapest ones, is worth $1 million on the street. And they're going to be moving these things around. They're going to be keeping them in inventory. This is just a part of this gigantic rollout for the Apple Watch. And we just saw what they did with the fitness stuff. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg as well. So they're going so big on this. This has got to be one of the biggest launches in consumer electronics history.
It really is. And what's amazing about it, as you said, is that, I mean, they're really treating this like it was a piece of fashion, a piece of jewelry. And I think that's what's really interesting about this. We haven't seen this really around a piece of electronics and consumer gadgetry before. It's also interesting, I think, to look at their media push. You know, you're talking about everything they're doing in the stores, and that's obviously preparing for getting the customers out there. But to get the customers in the door, you know, I think it's really interesting that they're going to Good Morning America and showing off the fitness aspects. They're putting ads, doing big ad spreads in Vogue. You know, they're going after that market very hardcore to try to get the regular people, not the gadget nerds like you and I, and most of the twit audience involved. They're really going after the regular person. And I think that's going to be something that's, quite frankly, separates them from almost everybody else in the smartwatch space. But I think it also plays a big role in what you were saying, you know, about what they're doing at retail, because it's very clear that they're wanting to make this a very, very exclusive experience, and they're really going out of their way to make this, you know, an entire process. So it's not, you're not just going in and buying, you know, something off the shelf. You're not buying like an iPod. You know, you're actually going in and getting something fitted and going through an entire process so that when you walk out, you feel like you have something bigger than just something that's on your wrist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even though it's a tiny product, I mean, you go to an iMac, it's a gigantic thing. You go in there, but ultimately the work that has to be done by Apple employees for you to buy that is almost nothing. You basically walk up to somebody with a blue shirt and say, I want an iMac. And they're like, okay, beep, beep, beep. And they hand you a box and they run your credit card and you walk out with the box. No big deal. In this case, people are going to be trying it on, looking in the mirror. What do I think? How does this look? Should I get the big one, the small one, whatever? And so it's massively more complex from Apple's perspective, because now people are trying stuff on. And of course, the other part of it is, as we saw with this report, you know, with this lab, I mean, everybody's got fitness sensors, everybody. And it's still like, oh, we have a fitness sensor. Oh, we have a heart rate monitor and pedometer. Is it accurate? Is it not accurate? Nobody really knows or cares that much. Everybody claims accuracy. But here, Apple is clearly very, very serious about making it super accurate, apparently. Again, we won't know until this thing is out there and can be tested, but it appears to be that they have fully intend this to be a sort of, you know, clinical quality, biometric measurement device. And hopefully we'll have the apps to go with it. So anyway, it's just such a large launch. I'm just so impressed by how much it better be a good watch. If this thing fails in the market, this would just be a disaster. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Melanie Armour from Scotland, who posted this picture on Google+ and wrote the following. She wrote, currently on maternity leave and watching Twit TV thanks to my partner Tom Finley's recommendation. Here is my four-month-old son, Joseph, kipping, whilst I enjoy the quiet time watching Tech News Today via Chromecast. Love from the Highlands in Scotland. Well, love back to you. Now, this kid is conked out. We'll try to keep it down, because that baby is sleeping like a baby. And I guess kipping, it means napping. Do you speak Scottish?
I don't speak Scottish, but I assume that's napping. But he totally looks conked out, and Joseph is adorable. So it's great of her to send that in.
All right. Well, we're glad to bring the excitement. A kid is really excited, obviously. Well, we want to see how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it to Google+, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it. Christina Warren, what are you up to these days? What are you working on writing-wise?
Well, I just finished a big analysis basically talking about why now is the time for the over-the-top bundles that we've seen, you know, from Sling TV, PlayStation View, and the rumored Apple TV stuff. Why now it's finally the time for this all to kind of come together. So that should go up today. And actually, you know, we were talking about this before the show started about Meerkat at South by Southwest. At 2 o'clock, I'm doing a hangout with Ben Rubin and Pete Patchell and JP from Mashable. And we're all going to be talking about Meerkat and basically sharing our South by Southwest highlights. So that's what I've got going on.
Do you think Meerkat's here to stay, or do you think it's a passing fad?
I think it was really going to depend on what they do in the next couple of weeks and how quickly they can get onto other platforms. Because I think that it's had a tremendous amount of people in our circle paying attention to it, but I don't know if that's going to be lasting unless they can kind of have the Instagram effect where they can pull in kind of more regular users. So I think it remains to be seen. I tend to be typically more cynical and skeptical, but I also feel like now probably is the right time for these services to work. You know, when people tried them a few years ago with Quick and with, you know, some of the other services, it wasn't really the right time. But now it seems like the timing is right. It's just a matter of whether or not they can execute and whether or not Twitter how long it takes Twitter to build that functionality into their own platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Mashable is number one on the leaderboard of Meerkat. Number two is Jeff Needles. He's doing it right. You're still number two. And he's doing it 24 hours. So he's gunning for you guys. Christina, yeah. And we'll see, you know, let the best and most obsessed meerkatter win, I say. Well, thank you so much for co-anchoring today, Christina. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Take care. You can subscribe to Tech News Today in your podcast app, of course, and you can also choose some other way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT, and you can watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. You can find it at twit.tv/apps. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and you can follow me on Instagram. That's instagram.com/Mike Elgin with one E in the middle. Let us know what you think. Send us an email to tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. Don't miss Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific every weeknight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Monday. We'll see you Monday, not tomorrow. You're not going to see me tomorrow.